You know, the subject we're about to treat in the month of April is very, very special to me because I've discovered that it's very possible for people to gather in the name of the Lord and the Lord is not there or Jesus is absent. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will enter in and sup with them." Actually, that letter was written to a church. And so, Jesus was standing at the door of the church. He was outside the church and knocking. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, this was talking to the Laodicean church. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door." So, he was outside the church and knocking to enter inside the church. Are you with me? Are you with me? He was knocking. What even brought this scripture to my mind was when I was trying to come into the service and I was knocking. We're flowing in the spirit. I knocked and knocked, and obviously we are spiritual people. Everybody in this place, we are in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And by the spirit, they picked that somebody was knocking and opened the door. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so why am I saying this? It's because the subject of grace and salvation is fundamentals of the church. It's interesting that there are people that don't even believe in grace. I don't understand. I don't know how you are a Christian and you don't believe in grace. Are you with me? There are some that don't even understand it. And so every now and then, we have to reemphasize what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Especially on the subject of salvation. It's still salvation, but in different, with a different lens, with a greater lens. Are you with me? And so even though I sensed that stir of the Spirit would have continued flowing, and the power of God to get thicker and thicker like we experienced yesterday. Such a marvelous experience, I'm telling you. So, after the powerful encounter last night, I fell into this weird trance. But it seemed like this church was Abuja. And so, we were in a service. And so, we arranged quite a small number of seats for the service. And people were entering into the service. So, I think I told one of the pastors, I read that Pastor Kenny or somebody, I said, "You know what? I'm not expecting so many people, so let's just stick with this number." And while we are doing that, people kept on walking in. And they were not coming much, just one by one. One by one. And after a while, all the chairs were taken away. And they kept coming in, and they kept coming. After a while, workers started standing up. And they kept one by one like that, in trickles like that. After a while, we had to now come outside. As I see, we had to have the service outside. And I woke up. Overflow is here, right? Welcome to Overflow. Hallelujah. Quickly, Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, do something powerful in the hearts of your people this morning. Let revelation dawn upon your people this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we were worshiping, I was just looking at the way some of us were worshiping. Let me tell you something. Nothing reveals your revelation of grace like the way you worship. Nothing reveals your revelation of grace like the way you worship. Nothing reveals your revelation of God like the way you respond to God. I remember one time, far back in the university, and that period, I think I got a very supernatural financial favor. And so there was a security man who, I don't know what happened, but something happened and he had an issue with me into one of the departments. So when coming out, I was just moved to give him 1,000 naira. And I gave him. The way the man bowed down to greet me because of 1,000 naira. So I was now wondering, after that day, anytime he sees me, "Sean, sir!" the salute air. I was now wondering, what did I do for this man that this man is greeting like this? 1K. Now, obviously, that's the way to respond, like to be grateful, right? But it just dawned on me how that God has done so much for men and men are not grateful. Are you with me? He was so grateful and I felt like giving him more. Are you with me? I felt like doing more. But God has done so much for people and they are not. Maybe the problem is that they don't even know. Are you with me? So Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." So he's saying that the word of Christ's grace will build you up. Amen. Contrary to what many fear, that, oh, the teaching of grace will make you somehow. No, he says this word of grace will build you up. Amen. Hallelujah. It will build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the sanctified. So what is grace? Grace is a benevolence of favor that does not make logical sense. Grace is a benevolence of favor that does not make logical sense. Grace can also be defined as an ability that a person has that seems to defy logic, or that does not seem natural. So I'll go over those two definitions again. Grace is a benevolence of favor that does not make logical sense. It can also be defined as an ability a person has that does not seem natural or logical. So grace is grace when it does not make sense from a logical standpoint. Praise the Lord. Let me give you some ideas. If you bought airtime from your account and you bought 2,000 naira airtime, and they give you an alert that, oh, MTN top it. Will you be surprised? But imagine after a while you notice that you were not buying any airtime, but you just kept every week you will see 3,000 naira MTN top it. Somebody may now meet you and say, I don't want to tap into this grace because I don't understand how you are not getting debit alert. It was not a mistake, but you just kept having, what is happening here? It's defying the normal logic. Are you with me? As an instance, you see, for grace to be grace, you need revelation. I'm telling you. That's why the title is Grace is Revelation. You need revelation. Maybe you will later discover that there was somebody that took it upon himself to be sending you that credit every week. Are you with me? What you found out later was revelation. Are you getting this? So even though it's defying logic, there is an explanation behind it. And listen, if you don't have the revelation, you may not really appreciate it. You may not know that even though it was coming free, even though you were getting the credit free, somebody actually paid for it. Somebody actually labored for you to get it, right? Tell your neighbor, grace is a revelation. Grace is a revelation. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another example I've always given in the past. Imagine you went to buy something in the supermarket and you entered there to buy. And after you brought out a G-Wagon, don't mind me, I'm just playing. After you brought out the things you wanted to buy for the month, as you wanted to pay, the cashier said, don't pay, you can go. I thought somebody would say amen. All the things you wanted to use, your soap, your carton of Indomie, I'm sorry. Everything, as you wanted to put your ATM, the cashier said, don't worry, you can go. That is fine. Someone like me. No, you must explain. No, you must tell me what happened. And the person says, don't worry, you can go, please. It's all paid for, you can go. I say, no, let me collect more. And by the time you pressure the cashier to explain, then he now says, look at that man. He's the owner of the shop. As you're about to pay, he said he knows you very well. That you and your dad and his dad were classmates. You say, oh, are you serious? And he takes you like his child. And as he saw you buying, he said, you know what? Don't take any money from her. You see, even if you would have initially, you have wanted to just go with it. But by the time you hear the explanation, it brings a different understanding to you. Are you with me? Now you want to meet him and say, thank you, sir. Are you following this? In the same way, God wants you to have a revelation of his grace. He doesn't just want you to receive it in salvation. He wants you to understand it. Because listen, if you don't understand it, you may be tempted to even reject it. Are you following this? You may say, before I enter, one chance, please. You may be tempted to reject it. You may misunderstand it, like many people do. If you are a lady, you may think, this one, the cashier is telling me to go away. Are you sure he doesn't have plans? So you must understand it. God wants you to understand his grace. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to get the point of what's happening here. Now, I know that sometimes people don't really understand it so well and they just receive it and get saved. But listen, if you will be properly saved, you must understand it to a certain degree. Praise the Lord. If not, you will not appreciate it. I'm telling you. Let me tell you, your Christian life is a result of what you understand about the grace of God. I'm telling you. Oh, for instance, even in ministry, why are we here? Why are we doing what we are doing? We understand the grace of God. We understand what Christ did. What Christ did is worth everything we are doing and more. Praise the Lord. We understand his sacrifice. We understand how far he went. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to hear your voices. And so the grace of God in Christ must be taught. The grace of God in Christ must be taught. Ephesians chapter 2. Can I tell you something? You see, I've eventually grown to discover that the church of Jesus Christ, see, is the most beautiful thing on the surface of the earth. I'm telling you. That we just come together and worship. I'm telling you, it's eventually, by the time the Lord comes and we get raptured, some people will go before the Lord comes. By the time you step into eternity, you will discover that this was what really made sense. It made sense. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8 to 10. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." Hey, hallelujah. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." Hallelujah. Now, when you read, "For by grace are you saved, and that on yourself is the gift of God," if you stop there, or if that's all you read, you may not really get the point. You have to go back a little bit and read from where it's coming from before you got to that place. Are you with me? Are you with me? So let's do some going back a little bit. I'll try my best to be fast. Yesterday, the way I felt after the program, hey God, I felt refreshed in my spirit, but my body was saying, "I need refreshing." And I remember the story that Pastor Young Gicho gave, how that he laid hands on, is it 10,000 or 20,000 people in one service. By Monday morning, they had to amputate the hand. I don't know if I got the story correctly. That hand, there was a problem with it. They had to go and treat it. Funny enough, people got healed, though, delivered, blind eyes opened, like that. So many things happened. But by morning, the hand was hanging in the hospital. Praise the Lord. See, my mentor recently wrote something on his status. He said, "Pastoring is hard work. Hard work if you're not strong." Because after one powerful meeting this week, there are other Sundays remaining. It's not like after the meeting, that's the end. You just, that's not the end, though. You finish first quarter, Christ Life Conference, Kapata, Shook Potter Court, Shook Abuja, Lagos. There is May. There is June. There is July. There is August. There is still 8 months in your front. If you walk the walk. Praise the Lord. And we are ready. Amen. Holy Ghost, we are ready. We are ready. I remember teaching one time, and people were, I say, "It's not you, it's not me that retire, it's you." Pastor David, my God. And you saw, we finished 3-5 sessions in Abuja. Sunday evening, I was in Port Harcourt. Began another session. Did another 4 sessions in Port Harcourt. And we are doing 5 in Lagos. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1. From verse 15, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, so Paul just heard about the church in Ephesus, that these guys now love the Lord and they love the saints. "Heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." He began to pray for them. "Cease not to pray, give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now, he's praying that God will grant these people wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit, that they will know, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. This was what I wanted to teach session 1 in Lagos, but the Lord changed it to people of his presence. Amen. What is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what's the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Praise the Lord. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Now, pay attention. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and everything that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. "And had put all things under his feet, and had given to be the head over all things to the church." Glory. "Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." I like the way chapter 1 ends and chapter 2 begins. Because listen, if you read chapter 1 without chapter 2, you would think that God just loved Christ so much. That, Paul is praying that we'll just see how God loves Christ. How that Christ has exceeding great power. how that Christ, God has put all things under Christ's feet, how that Christ was raised from the dead, and all of that. You can look at Christ and say, oh, Christ is such a great man. He's such a great man. God loved him so much. But by the time you go to chapter 2, you will discover that all that God did in Christ in chapter 1 was because of you. Are you with me? So you go to chapter 2, and chapter 2 begins with the first two words. What are the first two words? And you, and you, and you, and you had sin quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, so the reason why God raised him from the dead was because he wanted to quicken you from spiritual death. Are you getting this now? You have to see that that thing that God did in Christ was because of you. Praise the Lord. You have to see it, that what God did in Christ was because of you. It was not just because of him. He says, and you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit are now working in the realm of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then it says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Maybe I was too fast. Let's read it again from verse 1. And you are too quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Pause. Read this verse again. Do you know what this means? It means unbelievers are not in control of their minds the way they think. The sinners we are trying to reach, they are not in control of their mind the way they think. This is why we pray as a church. See, evangelism is not just sharing tracts. Evangelism is not just, it's not even just preaching to people. I'm telling you. Look at what he's saying here. Wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world. So there is a program of this world. The course here is not talking about generational course. So there is a pattern. What he's saying here is according to the course or the you know, this is the same word they use for the, what course are you studying in school? According to the structure of this world. There is a structure in this world. There is a way human beings, Jesus Christ. There is a way the worldly system has programmed people to be. And it says in time past, you walked according to this program. You are walking according to this structure. According now, not just that. According to the prince of the power of the air. Wherever there is air, he's telling you that there is a prince there. God. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. This is why when you go to preach, and somebody is maybe giving over to sexual immorality, debauchery, drinking, and all of that, the gospel cannot be stop doing this thing and God will accept. You know why? That is not the way he will be saved. He's under something else. Are you with me? According to the prince of the power of the air. Now see verse 3. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let me tell you, when you see the way the Bible describes the unbeliever, you cannot be indifferent about it. Look at the terms it's using. Children of wrath, children of disobedience. If you are here and you are not born again, listen, see. You know, Jesus said, marvel not I say unto you, you must be born again. Being born again is not a club. It's something that you must be part of. You must receive. You must. It's not like a club say, okay, I can decide, okay, you know what? I will not be born again today. You know what? I'll join the club tomorrow. You know? A person who is not born again is a child of wrath. What does that mean? He is ordained to the wrath of God. He's ordained to the judgment of God. He's ordained to the wrath of God. He's a child of disobedience. He's a child of disobedience, meaning he's an offspring of Adam's disobedience. Are you with me? He's an offspring of Adam's disobedience. As it were, the fruits that Adam produced, the disobedient nature that Adam produced is what has produced him. When you see people say, we are best of friends, but he's not born again. See, you need to think about it. You need to see your family members who are not saved, who are not born again. You have to start praying for them now. Are you with me? Among whom also, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, even though we are saved and we are studying this, it's also showing you your state, where you are, where you were. You will never understand the grace of God until you understand how much you are not deserving of it. Let me say that again. You will never understand the grace of God until you understand how much you are never deserving of it.
If God had to give you all that you deserved, I'm telling you, hey, my God. In fact, I believe that the world is still surviving today because of grace. Do you know that? I don't think we have committed as much sins as the time of Noah. I don't think Noah has committed as much sins as the time of now, because I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, even the people that were sinning in Noah's time, they are looking at our generation and saying, Oh, man, you try, oh. How old was the world when God said the sin of the world is too much and used flood? Flood washed everybody away. And sin has been continuing till now. And you wake up in the morning and the flood has not carried your house. I believe God is just, the Bible says God is long-suffering, waiting for all men to repent. You think about your life, all the things, if God had to judge all your thoughts, all the thoughts that has crossed through your mind or have passed your mind, if God decided that I will judge you based on your thoughts, some people, their own hellfire, they will manufacture a new one. See, this one, for you especially. Praise the Lord. I hear something. You know, when we preach like this, and people are saying, you people are shouting too much. Let me tell you, every evil you hear in the world is just a reminder that these human beings you are dealing with, they are children of disobedience. They are born in darkness. Now, there are things we hear, and we just take it like it's just normal because of the part of the world we are in. You hear stories of children abroad. Somebody will just carry a gun, go to a school, and start shooting people. I've not heard of things like that. And just start shooting people. First of all, I even think about it. Why did they manufacture a gun? How somebody thought like this and manufactured something that with one bullet, bye. That's to tell you the intent of people's hearts. Read history. You know, who knows about the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombing? Ah, God. Then I knew that, God knows, Let me tell you, even if God does not use flood, with the way man is going, man on his own will self-destruct. Albert Einstein said, after they invented that bomb, he went to ask for mercy. That they said, Olga, thank you for the equation. We have used it. You cannot take it back. Go. Okay, let me explain if you don't understand what I'm trying to say. During the Second World War, they invented a strange kind of bomb. No explosion, no fire. But as it comes like this, it's gas. Anywhere the gas meets, it will crumble into pieces. I was watching some of those videos. You will just, as they released it like that, I think they call it atomic bomb. As they released it like that, you just hear boom. And you just start seeing this building. It will turn to sand. Just like that. Human beings that were there, they will disintegrate. It was so bad that even 40 years later, after the bomb was dropped, women were still giving birth. It affected the DNA system of the people that were there. So, as in Japan, people were still giving birth to children that when they come out, you see a big face with one big eye inside. You see a full-fledged human being. The head will be very big. The body will be very tiny like this. Then the ear is very gigantic. Then no eye. That's what human beings can. That's the level of darkness we are dealing with. And this is why salvation is by the power of God, because it is by the salvific work of God that God can change that human heart. It is the power of God. To come out of spiritual death is power of God. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So he says, and you are to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past year walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Hey, say after me, but God. Say after me, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Look at this. So, for God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You must see it this way, that God is rich in mercy towards me. Even if you don't think about anybody, towards me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses and sins. Are you with me? Read verse 5, please. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You know, somebody asked me a question one time. He said, Pastor, when did we become one with Christ? Is it when we believed or before we believed? Then I opened this verse to him. He says, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. So, the provision of salvation was made long before you even came on the scene. As it were, in his mind, he joined himself to you and said, if I rise from spiritual death, anytime they believe, they will enter this thing. even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6. And had made us sit together. Do you know that this verse was written before all of us were born? He said before you came, anyone who believes, all men who believe, understand it, should make you rejoice. I'm telling you. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So grace actually is the product of love. The reason why God did what he did was because he loved us. A better definition for grace is love on display. So somebody can say, I love you. Then it is what he does to prove what he says about you that is truly, that you can really hold on to believe. So God can say, I love you. But when you look at his display of love in grace, you understand it better. Are you with me? Grace is because God is rich in kindness through Christ Jesus. Grace is because God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Let me tell you, you study the Bible. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought about the argument between or the prayer between Abraham and Lot? God, if you want to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, destroy them now. Why are you allowing Abraham pray? You know why? God is just, but God is also love. God was looking for a right reason not to destroy them. Are you with me? He was looking for a legal. What can I just hold on to? Then, you know, this is why prayer is very important too. Because prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. So when a man prays, God says, okay, this will be the reason why I will not do this or I will do this. You know, the Bible says about Sodom and Gomorrah that their sin came up unto him. The cry of their sin came up to heaven. And God was going to destroy them. But then he told Abraham, as though he knew that Abraham was going to pray about it. God agreed, if they are 50, I will not destroy them. God agreed, if they are 40, I will not destroy them. God agreed, if they are 30, This is the reason why somebody may say, why is this person a sinner, this bad man, this evil man? Why has God not slain him? God is looking for a way to have mercy. He's rich in mercy. Are you with me? That's his nature. He's rich in mercy. Say that to me, God is rich in mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, people that fight this grace thing, how else could you have been saved? Let me tell you, even as I'm talking to you now, I'm still praying that your eyes will be open to this thing. That it will hit you. When you think about Jesus going to the cross, the Bible says he was wounded for our iniquities. That means every scourge that he received was because somebody sinned. Did you hear what I just said? Every scourge that Jesus received was because somebody sinned. And he knew that if he put it on you, let me tell you, you know the painful part? If you are the one that died the death that Jesus died, that debt will still not be sufficient to pay for your own sins and any other person's sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Listen, the wages of sin, some of you are hearing me explain this for the first time. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, he didn't say the wages of sins. The wages of sin is death. Meaning, if you committed sin once, God says you're supposed to die once. And how many times can a man die? So, hey, God. That is why Achan will steal like this. Achan will steal. I thought they would say, now that's the first time in Duamo. No, Achan stole like this. And the ground opened and swallowed him. Imagine God was treating you like that. Somebody said, why did that happen in the Old Testament? See, in the Old Testament, there was no mediator. There was no sacrifice. Are you with me? Is it the blood of bulls and goats? No, it can't stand. You have done more than stealing. And you are sitting out here. You are sitting down here. You are here. You are here like this. Praise the Lord. Every scourge that Jesus Christ carried on his body, every pain he carried on his body, it was because of somebody. And guess what? The Bible says he was made sin. Meaning, I believe the sins of all, do you know what it means? That all our sins put together, all the sins of your children that are not yet born, all the sins of those past were compressed and put on one man. He had to be God in the flesh. Are you with me? God came as a man and carried our body. Are you with me? Took on all our pains, took on all the consequences for our sins and went to the cross and nailed it there. Hey, he did that so that he can look at you and say, because of me, you are free. Let me tell you, the reason for grace is because God has a standard. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. So the kingdom of God is so high, you can't bend it. Are you with me? You can't move it. You can't even beg your way through. The first time I taught this thing some years ago, I gave a story of one time I had a lecturer.
pray he doesn't hear this message. I have a lecturer in 100 level. Was he 100 level, 200 level? Engineering design. Kill and go. And he gave us a test. And during that test, he said, after 5, if your papers are not here, forget about it. This test, I think, was over 40. Over 40. 40 marks. And guess what? I was the course rep for my department. And so, he said, any course rep that has not put their papers in my hand after 5, you and your entire department, you're going to get 0. And he has done it before. It's not like, are you with me? He has a track record of keeping his word. And he started. 1, who was drawing? Hey, compass, like this. People are still using T-square. Some people have never written name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He stormed out of the hall. Hey, I told I was ready. I told my guys, please, I beg you. And finally, I collected everybody. You know what? I took them, I was running. They were chasing me. Ah, course rep. Collected it. I got to his office. I said, sir, these are all. He said, you're very stupid. I thought this man was joking. No, this man locked his office. Locked it and went home. I saw him enter the car and went home. I said, yeah. Hey, God, what am I going to do? Do you know what I did? I stayed there. I sat down there on the floor with the scripts as a mediator, you know, as a good mediator. I sat down there with the scripts praying. I said, oh God, this man. I sat there from 5 till 11 o'clock. I slept off. Slept off like this with scripts. I did not know that he literally comes back in the night to work. So this man came back in the night and saw me sleeping with script in my hand like this. He said, you are still here? I said, okay, give me. Thank you, Jesus. That's the word I'll be. Collected it, entered the office, and I started strolling like that back to the hall. Hallelujah. I have won the victory. You know the funny thing? That's not how the kingdom of heaven works. Hey, God. In the kingdom of heaven, we are having a kingdom which cannot be moved. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. If you like, cry. First of all, how will you get to the gate of heaven? Heaven. Even the earthly tabernacle that was trying to, foreshadow the real temple in heaven. Only the high priest could enter. And if the high priest make mistake, he will die inside. They will use rope and bring him out. These are matters of eternity. See, you can't beg your way. You can't move the kingdom. Are you with me? When Saul sinned against God, and God told him, kill everybody. Saul went and collected fat cows. He said, don't worry. He told Samuel, I will sacrifice these cows. I will sacrifice these cows for the Lord. You know what Samuel said? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just imagine. How do you want to impress a God that already knows the thought of your heart? How do you want to impress him? So when that God now looks at you and says, I love you, I just choose you. And said, I know that you cannot pay for your sins, so you know what? I will pay by myself, by my own blood. By my own sacrifice, I will pay. So in the Old Testament, that lamb or goats that they were using, 1-year-old lamb, we cover them for 1 year. Then God, who has eternity in himself, became a man and shed his own blood for you. And covered you for eternity. How will you accept that sacrifice? How will you celebrate it? Are you with me? This kingdom cannot be moved. See, the reason why he had to come is because only him can move it. Are you with me? Only him can move it. Only God can shift it. There would have been no perfect lamb except the Lamb of God. Are you with me? There would have been no perfect sacrifice except the sacrifice that God himself brings. The same way that Abraham was trying to bring his sacrifice, but it was the one that God brought that Abraham was able to sacrifice. Are you with me? In the same way, only the sacrifice that God brings will be acceptable. Praise the Lord. Say after me, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Now, as I round up, remember the illustration I gave at the beginning? Where you wanted to buy something in the store, and the owner of the store says, you know what? I just like you. I remember I and my father, I and your dad were friends, and because of that, I will just clear all the debt for you. Imagine the man head. Later, you went home and they asked you, how did you get this thing? You say, I did some business during the day and I got out some money and bought it. What will he think about you? There's something's wrong with you. No, not just that it's disgraceful. Imagine somebody saying, I receive salvation because I'm very righteous. Because of you. That your own works like a filthy rag. Are you with me? Anytime you try to honor your own works above God's grace, God is embarrassed. You need to know that. God wants you to receive his grace and celebrate it. Listen, and you will not really understand it like I was trying to show you, except you know that you are not deserving of it. This is why Jesus gave the parables that he gave. Luke 15, from verse 1 to verse 7. He says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to do what? Everybody read that verse again. 1, 2, 3, go. So he says, the sinners and the publicans, they came to hear Jesus. They did not come to just wine and dine with him. Because many people say, oh, Jesus ate and drank with sinners. No, they were coming to hear the word of God at his mouth. Let's continue. That was by the way. Verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man received sinners and eateth with them. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. This is to tell you something, eh? Let me tell you, the grace of God, even though it's called grace revelation, sometimes it's still a mystery. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Do you know that if God judged all of us to go to eternal damnation without salvation, do you know he's still just? He's still just. He's still righteous. He's still holy. Nobody will tell a judge that sentenced a criminal to jail, you are not righteous. He's righteous for doing that. But now, we see a very interesting example in the Bible. What we see as grace in the Bible is that the judge that ought to have sentenced you to jail and said, okay, you are supposed to stand 15 years in jail, but you know what? Come out, I will go to jail for you. That's what we see. So the question you may want to ask is, what is the relationship between the judge and the criminal? How come? In the same way, you may want to ask yourself, why does he love us so much? We don't know. But you know what? We receive it. We receive it. Sometimes I may thank you, Lord, for your grace. No wonder the Bible says, if he spared not his own son. When you understand grace, this is the beginning of faith. Remember, I told you to give you an inheritance, right? If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? If the Lord God came and took my place in death, took all the suffering I deserve to die. Do you know he went to hell for you? Do you know that? The Bible said he descended into hell for you. How much more contract? How much more admission? How much more job? Earthly things that can be tossed aside in 1 second. Say to me, Lord, I believe in your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. When you understand grace, not this world, there is nothing that is too big for God to do for me. Hey, there is nothing that is too big for God. There's nothing that God look at me and say, no. She has sinned too much. We can't give. No. If in spite of all my sin, he came and gave me salvation, that means no matter the mistake I've made in the past, God still has a plan for me. Yes. So look at this. Jesus said, this man, the man that found the sheep was the one rejoicing. The sheep self did not even know that it was lost, but the man knew it was lost, went found the sheep and came back rejoicing. So whenever a believer comes to God and is growing in the Lord, and just looks at you and you are growing, he's happy. He's like, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. Are you with me? That means you need to quit all those, there are some people, their own definition of real Christianity is they always come to church and say something like this. We are useless before him. Who knows what I'm talking about? We are filthy rags before him. You were a filthy rag, but now he rejoices over you. Are you with me? He rejoices over you because he has found you. Are you with me? It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let me explain. Remember the parable.
one was lost, right? And he went to find the one that was lost and left 99. Only those who know that they are lost will receive the salvation of God. As long as you think you are okay, you are not a candidate for grace.
Ah.
As long as you think without him finding you, you are fine. That's the problem. As long as you think that, why do I need to be so crazy about what God Christ has done? Am I not fine? Ah, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't know. Must I carry God on my head? You are like those 99 outside who are lost and need no repentance. Guess what? He left them outside. The man took one home. Those 99 were outside. At the end of the story, the 99 were where? Outside. If you study the parable of the two prodigal sons, actually two prodigal sons, at the end of the story, the one that thought he was self-righteous was outside the party. Are you with me? As long as you think that without the work of Christ, you are fine. Ah, must I receive Jesus? Must I receive what he has done for me? See, I'm a principled man. I work by principles. Leave all this church thing. At the end of the age, you will discover that you are lost. You were lost. Say after me, Lord, I receive your grace. Lord, I receive your grace. Lord, I trust in your grace. Just begin to pray right now. Thank you. Maybe you are here and you didn't even understand anything I said. But as we go on, it will make more sense. It will become more clearer to you.